Today we look at the second of the I Am declarations of Jesus that are found exclusively in John's gospel. I remember as a teenager having come to a time of a crisis of faith when I was in fact questioning the divine nature and identity of Jesus. Holy Spirit led me to the Gospel of John, and through illumination of his scripture began to help me to see what Jesus had to say about who he is. It is believed by some who are opponents of Christianity that it was the early followers of Jesus who made up this idea of his divine nature, and that Jesus himself never claimed to be God. This is the result of lazy scholarship and a lack of understanding of the meta-narrative, the big picture, the larger story of Scripture, and the continuity that Scripture has from Genesis to Revelation. Now in the text, John chapter 8, I won't speak much to the conversation that Jesus has with the Pharisees as it relates to the validity of who he is and the testimony and witness of which he bears. But in this instance, Jesus declares that he is one with the Father, and that his testimony is in accordance with the will of the Father. But on another occasion, this is familiar and one of my favorite passages in John chapter 5. If you just make a note here, verses 31 through 47. Jesus points to John the Baptist as a witness of who he is. He points to the testimony of the Father as a witness to who he is. And in that same passage, Jesus points to the scripture. And here's what he says. I love it. I mean, Jesus is just so wise. He says, "You study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me. Yet you refuse to come to me to have life." Jesus says, you are so caught up in God's word that you've missed the fact that it talks about me. He's talking about the Old Testament prophets. He's talking about the wisdom literature. He's talking about the Psalms. He's talking about all of Scripture, the Pentateuch. He says, it's talking about me. All of Scripture. Beloved, the message of the gospel is not be a good moral person. The message of the gospel is not do this and don't do that. The message of the gospel is come and see Jesus. Y'all gonna help me preach this today? The message of the gospel is that you and I ought to spend time with Jesus. This is why it's essential in our spiritual formation that we spend time with Jesus, that we have a daily time with God. You see, flourishing comes when we live and practice the presence of God in our daily lives. John tells us that when we believe in him, we have the right to become children of God. And throughout John's gospel, following Jesus and believing him is one and the same thing. This passage, John chapter 8, starting in verses 12 through 20, says, "When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, 'I am the light of the world. Now, let me tell you, just a pause here. The declaration of being the light of the world is a declaration. First off, he identifies himself as the I am in connection with the great I am who revealed himself in Exodus to Moses when Moses asked, who shall I tell the people has sent me? He says, tell them I am that I am. And so when Jesus says, I am the light of the world, Jesus is in fact identifying himself as the God of the universe. He says, I am the light of the world. Now, I'm going to get a chance to unpack that a little bit more so that you can also see the symbolism that Jesus is connecting to so that people would understand that he was declaring the divine nature of God. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The Pharisees challenged him. Here you are appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid. Jesus answered, even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you have no idea where I came from or where I am going. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. But if I do judge, my decisions are true. Watch out. Because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. In your own law, it is written that the testimony of two witnesses is true. I am one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me. Only Jesus could say this. Then they asked him, where is your Father? Now, they're looking for Joseph. You do not know me or my Father, Jesus replied. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. He spoke these words while teaching in the temple courts near the place where the offerings were put, yet no one seized him because his hour had not yet come. I thought it was interesting. No one had seized him, for his hour had not yet come. These I am statements of Jesus are staggering claims. Besides the profundity of the declaration itself, the context with which Jesus shares these truths about himself must not be overlooked. Jesus wants you to know that he is in fact the light of the world. If you're taking notes, that's point number one. He declares this truth about himself, that he is the light of the world. He wants you to know that he is the light of the world. And he tells and declares this truth. The text tells us that it was the very treasury in the temple courts. He spoke these words while teaching in the temple courts near the place where the offerings were put. Why is that there? That's important for us to understand because in this moment, what is happening in the context. Now, let me help you understand something. When it comes to scripture, context is everything. Context is everything. What is the context in which Jesus says what he says? And I think it's important and essential for us to understand the context. John chapter 7 tells us that it was during the Feast of the Tabernacles that Jesus, in fact, tells this. John in chapter 8 tells us that it was at the treasury in the temple where Jesus is speaking. Why is that important? Because the treasury during the time of the tabernacle or the Feast of the Tabernacles, there was a large influx of people who had come to Jerusalem because the Feast of the Tabernacle was one of the three feasts that was declared and the males of all around were told to take a pilgrimage to Jerusalem and to bring their tithes and their offerings. So the fact that Jesus tells about declares that he is the light of the world, and it is during the space of the treasury in the temple court, identifies the fact that it was a busy space. It was a high traffic area, and Jesus uses that moment during that time to declare who he was. There's a lot of people traveling, coming through, giving of their offerings. And this was placed in the court of the women. The court of the women is where the chests were placed and the receiving of the offerings when individuals would come to worship God, to honor God for the harvest that he had provided for them, to honor God for the ways that he had delivered them in the past. The Feast of the Tabernacles occurred at the conclusion of that year's harvest. So people were bringing their offerings to the Lord. They were thanking God for his provision in their life. They were thanking God for how he had provided for their ancestors in times past. It was nearing the end of the Feast of the Tabernacle, also known as the Feast of Booths. Because during this time, booths, B-O-O-T-H-S. My wife is like, did you say that right? Booths. She keeps me. The Feast of the Booths is called the Feast of the Booths because what they would do is they would create these temporary housing as a way of celebrating the journey that God took them on in the desert. It was a way of celebrating the temporary position that they found themselves in before going into the promised land. And so they called it the Feast of the Booths. And it was a way of celebrating God's goodness, God's provision, God's watching over his people during the 40 years in the wilderness. These temporary homes were a way of saying thank you to God through all of the difficulty and the challenges we found ourselves living in. It's God's way of reminding his people in every generation the deliverance that his people experience coming out of Egypt and going into the promised land. In John's gospel, Dr. Reed talked about I am the bread of life last week, and John's gospel in chapter 6, there's this reference to manna, the bread that the people of God enjoyed during their time in the wilderness. In John chapter 7, Jesus talks about these living waters. Again, this idea of water that came from a rock while the people of God found themselves, God providing for them. And then here in John chapter 8, he talks about a light. He talks about a light. And if you remember when God brought Israel through the wilderness, he led them by light. There was a cloud by day and a fire of by night. There was this as darkness came in the land, there was this illumination of light that grew brighter and brighter as it became darker and darker in the wilderness. Do you see this wilderness motif that John is developing in chapter 6, chapter 7, and chapter 8 as he's trying to help the people of God to understand who God was in the past and how that is connected to the very person and work of Jesus Christ today? It was during the Feast of the Tabernacles that Jesus declares, I am the light of the world. Here's the symbolism. It's a reminder and a celebration of how God gave them light in the wilderness. Exodus chapter 13 says it plainly and clearly for us. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night. The pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night did not depart from them, from before the people. God was that light. And we see throughout Israel's history that that fire, that light of God, was a symbol and a recognition of the very presence of God. And once the Ark of the Covenant was built and placed in the tabernacle in the wilderness, and then later in the temple, God's glory came upon, and it was a symbol of his presence among them. Now, it's interesting that when it's recorded in Scripture that the glory of God first enters into the temple, it was so overwhelming that people could barely even stand up, because the presence, the light, and the glory of God was so amazing. Imagine the beauty of the people being able to see the very glory and presence of God in their midst. And then the Scripture records that there was a time when the Ark of the Covenant was stolen and retained by the Philistines. And when the Ark of the Covenant was removed, the glory of God left the space. And it was the grandson of Eli and all the things that he had done and his sons had done. It was the grandson of Eli whose name was given Ichabod. And Ichabod was given his name because Ichabod means the leaving of the glory, the absence of the glory of God. And so in Shiloh, in that moment, they named this child to represent the deep loss of the glory and the light of God. I've been to Shiloh, and there is nothing in Shiloh. It is dirt. And it was God's proclamation against the people of God that this is what happens when the glory leaves. So during the Feast of the Tabernacles, they would erect these huge candelabras, these huge candles, like 75 feet tall, pretty huge. They would have these candelabras, and they would be like torches, and they would light it as a sign of the light and the presence of God. And it was a way to kind of celebrate God's and what God did through the wilderness for his people. So these huge candelabras, four of them, would be erected. And the light would shine in Jerusalem. And it was so great. The light was so great that it would light up Jerusalem. It's on the eighth day, during the Feast of the Tabernacles, that Jesus declares, "I am the light of the world." What happens on the eighth day? It is on the eighth day in the Feast of the Tabernacles that all the light on the candelabras are blown out. And it is the Scripture that tells us on the eighth day that you are to move into a space of a solemn assembly. And so as people are reflecting on the loss of light, the loss of the glory of God, as people are longing for the glory and the light of God to be in their presence again, all of which was represented by those candelabras, representing the light of God in their presence, darkness. It is in the moment of darkness, when the lights are out, that Jesus stands up, candelabra behind him, as people are longing and being reminded of the absence of the light and the glory of God, Jesus declares, I am the light of the world. Not just the light of Jerusalem, but I'm the light of the world. And those who follow me shall not be in darkness. That's how that. So what Jesus is saying, Jesus is connecting himself to that pillar of fire. And in that present moment, he looks to them and he says, I need you to understand that what you're longing for and what you need and what you want and what's been absent is standing in your midst. I am with you. I am the light of the world. Zechariah 14 and 16 talks about this Feast of the Tabernacles, and I want to look ahead a little bit, because Zechariah is actually a prophetic word for the future kingdom. And in the prophetic word, Zechariah says that we will still honor the Feast of the Tabernacles. We will still honor the Feast of the Tabernacles, but as we look forward to the harvest, it will be a harvest of nations to the Messiah. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. Every tribe and tongue and nation would lay their gifts at the foot of our King. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And Isaiah 49 and 6 tells us that Messiah is the light of the nations. He is the only one who reveals the glory of God. He is the inexhaustible source of spiritual nourishment. This light that is extinguished every year, time and time again. I'm the light that won't go out. I'm the light that will remain for all of eternity. I am the perfect light of God. By eternal direction, all of life is settled. This is his claim. This is his claim of being God, because light throughout scripture is a metaphor. It is a metaphor for God. The psalmist tells us this way, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And being this light means that he's powerful enough to make a difference in your life. That he's powerful enough to make a difference in the light of the in the context of the entire world. No matter where you've been, no matter where you're going, this light can give direction. This life can give protection. This life can change your direction. Jesus is the light of the world. And what I love about what he does here, as he uses this imagery of the wilderness to help us understand and connect him to the very glory of God, the Shekinah glory of God. Jesus is saying, I am the Shekinah glory. As he connects to that, he uses this wilderness motif. He says something. He says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me. Whoever follows me. Now remember the cloud, when the cloud would get up and move, the people would get up and move. When the cloud says we go this way, the people got up and went that way. And so they follow. It was a moving light. And as the light moved, the people moved. And they didn't always know where to go or how to get to where they needed to go. But when they followed the cloud, they always ended up where they needed to be. And if you're in the wilderness, I don't know if you've ever been in a wilderness space. You talking about dark? I mean, it's like a darkness. There is fear because you can barely even see your hand in front of you. And there's something magical. There is something significant about light. Doesn't matter how dark it is. Light will always cut darkness. And so Jesus is inviting you and I to follow him. He says, as the light of the world, I invite you to follow me because I want you to enjoy the light of life. I invite you to follow me because I want you to enjoy the light of life. It is a moving light. It is a light that says that wherever you go, I will follow you. Jesus is meant to be followed every day. Every day. So I love it. There's this past reflection of a connection to that moving cloud, that pillar of light, that light that gave protection, that light that gave guidance, that light that symbolized the presence of God. And Jesus is saying, I am all of that. I am the presence of God active in your life. I am your protector. I am your provider. I am the one that is your sustainer and keeper. I am the one that will not only give you light to the way, but I am the one that is life. I will restore life. Everything that has been broken, I will restore life. The enemy thought that he had won and overcame God. I will restore life. And even darkness in your life, he says, I want you to live in light. I want you to live in the light. You don't have to live in darkness. You don't have to live in brokenness. You don't have to live in your sin. I am the light of the world. I will give you the right perspective about God, and I'll give you the right perspective about who you are. See, that's what the light does. The light shines in dark places, and when there is dark places in our lives, thank God for the light. Because he doesn't leave us in our darkness. The scripture tells us that God doesn't leave you in your darkness. If you will follow him, he'll take you right out of the darkness and move you into the light. But some of us like our darkness. We like our darkness. We like those dark places in our lives. We hold on and we cuddle our sin. We enjoy that darkness. And the light of the world says, you don't have to live there. But often we'll reject him because we enjoy our darkness more. But I'll tell you, light reveals. Whatever darkness conceals and distorts, light reveals. And he says, I want you to enjoy the light of life. That you and I, as followers of Jesus, not only is he the light of the world, but he says that when you follow me, you become the light of the world. And that light that he calls us to is not, we're not the source of light. He is the source of light. We are simply a reflection of the one who is the source of light. And so oftentimes the illustration is the sun, the S-U-N, which is a source of light. And then the moon becomes a reflection of the light of the sun. So you and I are not the sun. We are like the moon. We reflect the light that comes from the S-O-N. We are to be given, we are to reflect the beauty of Christ. We are to reflect the joy of Christ. We are to be a reflection of his light in our world that could bring many out of darkness and bear witness to the truth that Jesus is, in fact, the source of light. So here's the beauty of Scripture, because it tells us the connection in the past and the symbolism that Jesus wants us to understand and to know in that present moment, that he is in fact the light of the world. But then Scripture points to the future. And it points to the future in Revelation chapter 21. Because it's important for you to understand what Jesus needs you and I to understand. That in Revelation 21 and 23, it says the city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it. For the glory of God gives it light. And the Lamb, who's the Lamb? Jesus is the Lamb, and the Lamb is its lamp. Revelation 22, in the new creation, in the time when heaven comes to earth, there will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. See, the reason Jesus could say he is the light of the world, not only was he there back in the past and current and present right now, he's there in the future. And the future reality declares that we don't need the light of the sun when we've got the eternal light of God in our midst. God, Jesus is saying, I'm with you right now in the midst of your dark moments. I know it's overwhelming. I know you want to give up. I know it's too hard right now, but he's right there. Even like he was with Israel when they went through that wilderness. Have you ever been through a wilderness time and felt like God had abandoned you? But you need to know, brothers and sisters, that God says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. The work that I've done to make you secured, your salvation is secured because I am the light of the world. Your salvation is secured because I am the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And life might be rough right now. You may be enduring a wilderness experience, but you need to understand, I've not left you. I've not given up. I'm still at work in the midst of the situation. Somebody ought to praise him. Somebody ought to thank him. This is a time to thank God for not leaving us in our darkness. In those moments when it feels so dark and overwhelming, don't forget he's already brought you out. He's already walking with you, never leaving you, never forsaking you. Jesus says, I am the light of the world in the midst of a dark moment when they were longing for the glory of God. Are you longing for his presence? Are you longing to follow after him? See, that's what it means to be a follower of Christ, to be a Christian. It means to follow Jesus, to see him, to know him, to experience him, to develop a life of intimacy with him, to spend time with him day in and day out, to consult him, because he's the light of life. He knows it all. And even the things that we hide, he sees that too. He is the light of life. And he wants you to enjoy that life that comes from him. Nobody else could claim what Jesus claimed, because they weren't there in the past. And they're not there in the future. Only God can live the span of eternity. Jesus says, I am the light of the world, and those who follow me, darkness will not overcome them. So even when Satan thinks he has authority over your life, Jesus says, I am the light. The Lord is my light. He is my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Amen. Father, thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for being our light. Thank you for paving the way, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your protection. Thank you for your guidance. Thank you for your direction. Above all, God, thank you for your presence. So even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you promised to walk with us, to never leave us, to never forsake us. You are the center of it all, Jesus. All of Scripture is about you, and we celebrate and we honor that truth today. In your name we pray. Amen.